I think everyone knows I teach a Sunday school class. It's an interesting class. I used to love that when I preached full time. People would be like, that's an interesting sermon. Is that a compliment or not? I don't think it is, you know? For my Sunday school class, I mean it as a compliment. It's an interesting class. I love it. I love it. But one thing that I constantly do with our class, because I want what we talk about to matter, I want it to make a difference in their lives. So one of the things I constantly do is I ask the question, so what? Now, that isn't the flippant attitude, maybe filled with teenage angst. So what? It's not that kind of so what. But it's a penetrating, deep answer and meaning-seeking filled question of, okay, so what? I think that's a very important question to constantly ask in our life of discipleship. You believe in Jesus? Okay. So what? What does it mean? What does it matter? You believe in the resurrection? Okay. So what? What difference does it make? How does it change you? You believe and call yourself a Christian? Okay. So what? What do you do with it? How does it change others around you? Now, I was asked to preach this Sunday way before Megan was hired. Dad's a planner, if you didn't know. He plans ahead, and boy, can he plan. So this was in place months before Megan was even hired. So shortly after Megan's first Sunday, I did approach her about this service, and we were talking. You know, I even said, hey, do you want to preach? And she's like, nah, you go ahead. But we were talking about how this is Reformation Sunday. So I approached her with the idea of her talking about the history of the Reformation and then me asking that question. Okay, so what? So that's where we are. It's where we stand and we can do no other. It's a little Martin Luther joke there. Nobody got it. That's what he said when he was about to get kicked out of the church. He said, here I stand and I can do no other. You ever heard that before? Yeah? No? Okay. All right. Quick on the uptake. So that's where we are. Megan shared with us the history of the Reformation. We know this upcoming Tuesday, we're not only going to celebrate Halloween, but at some point during that day, I want you to think about 500 years ago today, Martin Luther changed the world by wanting to protest. That is why we're called Protestants. Did you know that? The word literally means one who protests, a Protestant. He wanted to protest the church and reform it, hence the word Reformation. But the real question for us today, so what? What does that mean for us 500 years later? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for the community at First Baptist Church in Lexington, North Carolina? The Reformation happened. Luther happened. The church was reformed. So what? What does it mean? What does it matter? What difference does it make? Should you even care? How does it change you? What do you do with it? How does it change the others around you? Let's explore that. History is an interesting thing. I would even say a living thing. For me, it's never been a dead, boring subject in school, but it's always been a place of intense learning. And you always go back to dealing with your history. A saying my father taught us a long, long time ago was the past is prologue. That was drilled into us growing up. The past is prologue. last Sunday night, Song and I decided we were going to watch a movie. And so we ended up watching one of my favorite movies of all time. It's a great history movie, Forrest Gump. I love that movie. I love it. I love it. Tom Hanks is brilliant in that movie. But it was interesting we chose to watch it. Have y'all ever seen Forrest Gump? You have? Oh, good on your parents. I think you need to go back to Greenbow, Alabama. That's my favorite line in the whole thing. But anyway, the very next day, Tom Hanks received an award from the National Historical Archives. Did any of y'all see that? For like being such an actor that played so many different prominent roles that shed light on American history. And he had a quote that was fascinating. He said, if you're concerned about what's going on today, read history and figure out what to do, because it's all right there. And we can learn from history. We can. We can be inspired, reminded, changed even by history. So if we look at what happened 5 years ago, I learn a valuable lesson. In fact, I learn three valuable lessons. So if you're listening, this is going to be a three-point sermon. Easy to follow along with. So next week, if somebody says, hey, what was the sermon about? You can say, hey, it was about these 3 points. And you can prove you listened. All right. So I've learned three lessons. Yes, get out your pens and papers. Write this down. Three lessons from the Reformation. So if you were to say to me, the Reformation, so what? This is what I'd say to you. Number one, it shows us that in following Jesus, change is going to be constant. Constant change. Number two, the Reformation shows us that in following Jesus, we need to constantly change if we're going to be the best disciples we can be. So number two, we need to constantly change. And then number three, it shows us that in following Jesus, God is going to constantly be with us. Three lessons. Change is constant. We need to constantly change. But God's presence is even more constantly constant than change. Say that three times fast. The Reformation, so what? Well, we got to deal with change. We got to embrace change. And we have to remember, God is with us. It's going to be okay. That's what Luther was facing all those 500 years ago. Change, constant change, change in his lifetime. When Luther first nailed those 95 theses on that castle door, change was just beginning. The printing press, as Megan mentioned, had begun churning out his writings, and it created a firestorm filled with constant change. He was against the selling of indulgences, the practice of basically selling salvation. And if you're shocked by that, don't be, because some churches still sell salvation today, albeit in different shapes, ways, or forms. But Luther wanted to emphasize grace and freedom, and the political powers of his day also saw a way to get out of control of the papacy so they didn't have to listen to Rome anymore. So Luther was a good horse to get behind. So the Reformation exploded, and it became not just a religious movement, but it became a political movement and even a socioeconomic one. Just four years after being an unknown professor and posting those 95 theses on the door, Luther was excommunicated by the church, and he had to stand before the emperor of Germany to defend his position. That's where he said, here I stand, I can do no other. And then on the way home from that, he was kidnapped by a friend so he could be protected. A group of princes defended him to the emperor. In just 4 years, all this happened. Change swirled around Luther like a whirlwind. And it does the same for us, right? I mean, we look at our world today, we just shake our head. Read the news. It's so disheartening. But remember your history. Sometimes we're prisoners of the moment, and so it's easy to say the world is worse off now than it's ever been. Things are worse than they have ever been. I bet Luther felt the exact same way. I know Paul did. Yeah, Paul that wrote 2/3 of your New Testament, he thought that Jesus was going to come back tomorrow because the world was so bad off. Every generation has felt like that. Folks, change is constant. History teaches us that. The only constant since the beginning of time has been change. The Reformation, so what? Change is constant. So we need to constantly change in our discipleship if we're going to meet change head on. That's what Luther was doing, changing, reforming. As things changed around him, he changed so that he would be a better disciple and the church could make better disciples. Are we willing to change? The church has always asked that question, but I'm not asking the church. I want to ask you individually, are you willing to change? Right here, right now, what are you willing to change about how the way you engage in church so that we can make better disciples? So we can meet the needs and realities of 2017. You know, we're having to do this at Cancer Services. If you're visiting with us today, I'm the director of a local nonprofit that's a partner with United Way of Davidson County, an agency called Cancer Services of Davidson County. We help cancer patients, but we're having to change. We're being asked to be a learning institution by United Way and constantly look at the way we're doing things so that we can learn from our surrounding realities and then change to better meet the needs that we're trying to meet. Getting people to give money is harder today than it was 5 years ago. So we have to change how we raise money. We learned that transportation is a huge issue for cancer patients in Davidson County. We used to just give people gas reimbursements, but then we learned that some folks don't even have a car to drive. We had to change. Quick nugget here, thanks to this church's grassroots faith health team and the work of the members and volunteers of that, I know for a fact, thanks to Deb and Don and Miss Booty and a host of other people in this church, I know for a fact that there was a lady who got to treatment this week, just this week, that otherwise wouldn't have been able to get the life-saving treatment she needed. I know for a fact, Paul and Barbara became friends with somebody and changed this man's life. They got him to the life-saving treatment he needed, but then they became friends. And that friendship and love changed that person. So it may not look how we used to do church, but it's changing, it's evolving, and it's making a difference. If you work in the healthcare field, I know you've had to learn how to change, evolve, measure your outcomes. Public education, the community college, I know, has gone through that process. All institutions have to do it, and the church is no different. It's hard. It's frustrating. It's not easy work. It is not easy work, but sometimes you have to put on your thick skin and be willing to look at what's not working and admit that and change it. And that's easier said than done. I get that. I live that. But if we want to make a difference, That's what we're going to have to do. That was the work of Luther. That's the work of the Reformation. Can that be the work of us here and now? The Reformation, so what? We need to constantly change to meet the constant change around us. And finally, God is with us in all this change, and it's going to be okay. The only thing more constant than change is the presence of God. Here in a moment, we're going to sing the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. That's a hymn actually written by Luther himself. Earlier, you heard the words of Psalm 46. I want you to open your Bibles to that psalm again. We're going old school. If you got a physical Bible, I want you to open it. If you got an app on your phone, I want you to open it. I got a clothespin holding on my microphone. We're old school today. It's like a country Baptist church. Open your Bible, Psalm 46. I want you to look at these words. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. I'm going to read it out loud. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble, the psalm begins with. God is a mighty fortress, in other words. God's present, and the psalm keeps on hitting on that theme, that no matter what, God is present, even in the calamity, even in the change. While everything else swirls around us and we think the world may even be coming to an end, while the world looks bad and crazy, while change is constant, while we're having to constantly change, there is one thing that never changes, and that is the fact that God is with us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains should shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Change is constant. We're having to constantly change. But God is with us. Now open your hymnals. Hymn number 43. You can't tell me Luther wasn't thinking the exact same thing as the psalmist. Probably 2,000 years later, Luther feels the exact same way, and we can feel the exact same way 500 years after that. Look at that third verse. Constant change, having to change, God with us. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. Can you hear it in the psalm? Can you hear it in the hymn? The Reformation. So what? Change is constant. Yes, change is constant. And we need to change to meet the constant change. But yet, through it all, God is with us. God is with us. Where have we heard that before? And you shall have a son and name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then a promise from that son. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. We got to deal with change. We have to change. Thanks be to God for being with us through it all.